Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be discussing WWE's 205 Live. I mentioned that it is January 4th, and of course that can mean only one thing, the New Japan Tokyo Dome Show. Just chill, I'm not giving spoilers or anything like that. If you are somebody who is all excited, going, man, I can't wait, I took off January 5th, I'm going to stay up really late, watch this show live, I got my popcorn ready, well, you're kind of screwed. You didn't get the whole time conversion thing. The show took place in the middle of the night already, but you can still check it out at New Japan World. We have full results of that show up, courtesy of Zach Zimmerman. He was up from start to finish. I was not one of those depraved lunatics who thinks only about wrestling. All right, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to stay up. I've done it before. I've made the all-nighter for New Japan Wrestle Kingdom. I think it was 9, and I did it for part of 10, and I did it for part of last night. I was up until a good 3:30 Central Time, and I got up and watched some this morning as well. Still have two matches to go, and again, I'm not going to spoil anything for you if you're somebody who wants to check that show out, but just wanted to give you a heads up that the results are available on the main page if you're just somebody who isn't going to check it out on New Japan World or wait for it to air on Access with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett on the call over the next, 4 weeks of shows? I don't know if it debuts this Friday or the next Friday, but you'll be able to see Wrestle Kingdom 11 there, and also Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt are planning to get together for an all-access show, the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. They will be discussing the big Tokyo Dome show, so be sure to check that out. I am here, of course, to discuss the 205 Live show. It took place in Jacksonville, Florida at the Memorial Veterans Memorial Arena, and watching this show, it's like, if you see it, you see it. If you miss it, you miss it. It's one of those things. It's not a bad, I guess, hour of television. This one seemed to go a little bit longer than the 45-minute slot that it was given on the WWE Network schedule page. It's, the time kind of goes by quickly, but it doesn't really feel like it matters, I guess, is an issue I have with it. It's cool when something happens like Neville turning heel. Gets you excited, you want to tune in. Or last week they had the duel with Jack Gallagher and Arya Daivari. But I just don't feel like they're doing enough to really set things up for future shows. It's just kind of you watch the hour, and then you wait until Raw to find out what you might see on 205 Live. You kind of want that natural progression. You kind of want them to build up to big matches, and they're not. You know, the biggest match they would probably have at this point is Rich Swann against Neville. They already gave us that match in non-title form, and I'm sure they're going to save that match for, you know, the title match, maybe even for the Royal Rumble, as I've talked about in the past. But you wish there was some sort of build-up and there was some hype for what you're going to see next week. And I know it's different because you do have a couple of slots on Raw that they give to the 205 Live. So what? You know, make me excited about this show. Make me excited about Raw, too, when I'm watching it, of course. But I just feel like there should be, it's kind of the lazy Raw approach that we might advertise something. We might not. And really, on 205 Live, I don't know that they have. Have they advertised anything a week out yet? I may be forgetting something, but I wish they do more of that. I just wish they had their stories. They're just very basic and kind of slow moving. But let's start working our way through this. We got a recap of Neville's win over Rich Swann in the non-title match from the week before, and the broadcast team: Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, and Austin Aries. And Graves pointed out that Rich Swann is not medically cleared, and he attributed it to the attacks by Neville. And he said T.J. Perkins actually stepped up and would face Neville in the main event. Did they cover this on Raw? Did I kind of miss it? Because, it was established on Raw that would be the match, as Perkins against Neville. And maybe I just missed him kind of explaining that that Swann was sidelined. But the first match was the returning Tajiri, returning to WWE, defeating Sean Maluda in 255. Tajiri actually appeared on last week's NXT television show, but that was taped in Osaka, Japan. So this was kind of his 205 Live debut. And I thought, hey, this crowd, people remember Tajiri, right? Whether it's ECW or probably in most cases for the more casual viewer, his run in WWE, he'll get a decent reaction. Crickets. The crowd just kind of sat there. It was pretty sad. I was disappointed by that. I just watched this show going, did they not get the internet in Jacksonville, Florida? And I say that jokingly, because not that I expected them to be as vocal as Chicago was, and not like Chicago was hot for 205 Live or anything. We talked about that last week, but they stuck around. They seemed more into it than most crowds. And it was like, well, it's Chicago. It's probably just a hot wrestling city, and I'm not going to see this as a big step forward. But then watching Jacksonville, it was just like the worst crowd they've had. Now they stuck around, it seemed like. So again, maybe not the worst, because I think that first week when everyone was just heading for the hills, they couldn't get to the concourse and the parking lot soon enough, it seemed like. So I mean, they stuck around, but just in terms of reaction, it's like they hadn't seen these people. To Jerry, I know it's been a while, but still, I expected him to get something. He ended up winning with a series of kicks, a springboard elbow, and then a big high kick to the head. So Tajiri goes over, and then after the match, Brian Kendrick comes out, welcomes Tajiri to 205 Live, and he ends up going to the ring and talking about how Tajiri is an old friend and a fellow pioneer of the cruiserweight division, and he's being really over the top with it, laying it on really thick. And so it's like, all right, there's a chance Tajiri is going to be this, play the sucker role for a little bit and eventually turn on this guy. But more likely, Tajiri's not buying it, and he wasn't buying it. He ended up, Kendrick offered Tajiri a handshake. Tajiri took his hand and then spat the green mist into his face. And Kendrick was really selling that, just yelling in agony about having green mist spat in his face. So Tajiri a baby face, Kendrick a heel, and I guess that will probably lead to a match on Raw or next week on 205 Live. Who knows? Then they cut backstage where Neville was being interviewed by Dasha Fuentes, who was not good at her job, and she said that TJ Perkins would never have been champion had he been in the division to start with. And he talked about being discriminated in a second-rate country, and he said that no one cares about his hardships. Talking about they do about TJ Perkins, and he said he's never been taken seriously in the country because of how he talks and looks. It got some USA chants last week, but it's just kind of corny that there's so many good things about the Neville heel character. It feels desperate to have him like play the anti-US card. It feels unnecessary. There's some guys who's like, "I'll do what you got to do." Neville's not one of them. It just kind of feels like they're just reaching for anything to try to get this guy heat. Give it a little time. I think Neville's doing fine. But he said he doesn't care what anyone thinks about him, and that's what makes him dangerous. And he said TJP's 15 minutes of fame are up. We got a Tony Nese video package. He talked about being the premier athlete, and then one little thing about that video package that stood out to me is it was good, but he's talking about being the premier athlete, and when you say that, it's like you're arrogant, you're cocky, and all that. And then he's talking about all the people that proving people wrong that didn't give him a shit. It's like, no, a premier athlete doesn't have to prove anyone wrong. He's the man. It's like people are coming to him. It just felt a little too WWE Cruiserweight division that everyone, they've all been overlooked and they all have these rescue dog stories. Just a little thing about the Tony Nese video package that kind of jumped out where, no, let him be the guy that he doesn't talk about how he's been overlooked. Let him be the guy who knows he's good and everyone has given him chances because they know how good he is. It's just a little thing. Second match was Jack Gallagher defeating Tony Nese by DQ in 220. Nese had Drew Gulak with him. Gallagher looked like he was on the road to victory when Daivari kind of ran out of nowhere and clipped his bad leg from behind, that knee injury that he's been working. And so that was a DQ, and then Daivari put a beat down on Gallagher while yelling that Gallagher had embarrassed him. And I'm happy to see this feud continue. It's just kind of a little mid-undercard thing they have going on between Gallagher and Daivari. They had the duel last week with Gallagher embarrassing him was the idea. And it continues. And I'm happy the duel wasn't the end of it. Tony Nese and Drew Gulak, one guy wrestles, the other guy stands in the corner and wears a suit. They usually lose. Gulak, I think, got a rare win recently. So they don't win too much. We'll see what they do with these guys. Backstage, Cedric Alexander talked with Alicia Fox about what happened, and she was very apologetic, saying it's her fault, and he told her that it's not her fault, and then they kissed. Still not into this. I get a kick out of Noam Dar, just trying to steal Alicia Fox, but I'm not into the Cedric and Alicia pairing, and the main reason is I don't think Cedric needs this. I think he's actually just being hampered with it. I don't think this is doing him any good. This is a guy who got over because he went into the Cruiserweight Classic and had excellent matches, and he's capable of doing that in the Cruiserweight division. And instead, we're getting bad Alicia Fox finishes where she gets angry and ends up getting, he gets distracted. And if at the same time, it's like, I'm watching this going, yeah, it kind of isn't Alicia Fox. It's like, hey, Cedric, how about you just focus on your match, stupid, the character, I'm not a fan of this pairing. I don't think Cedric is a guy who needs this. I think there's other guys who could use a girlfriend gimmick or something in the division. I just don't think he's it. I think he's a guy that, they're looking for babyface star power. He could be that guy. I think he's also versatile enough he could be a good heel, but he's a guy that should be doing more than just getting saddled with the Alicia Fox is crazy and flipping out on people at ringside gimmick. It's bad. Third match was Noam Dar losing to Mustafa Ali in 6:30. I wasn't sure. This was a good match. I liked this, and I wasn't sure what the finish was going to be. They gave Ali a nice a win last week in Chicago, and it was like, well, they also played it up. It's his hometown and all of that. And so Dar's the guy they've been focused on with this whole steal your girlfriend gimmick. And I thought maybe they would have if I thought they might take the easy way out, especially airing the Cedric and Alicia thing before the match, that maybe Cedric came out and caused the finish. But it was actually Ali catching Dar with a kick in the corner and then following up with an inverted 450 splash and getting the clean win. So I think they like what they have in Ali. As I talked about last week on the show, they did the right thing by deciding to go with him as a babyface rather than play up this heel who just doesn't like that fans look at him differently or think of him differently because of his name and where he's from and his music or whatever. He had all these different things, and he spoke last week in Chicago about how he was the one who was wrong, and he's the one who had some preconceived notions. And I like it. I think he's got some flashy offense. This crowd was pretty quiet again, but they seemed to take to him and some of his flashy offense. That was good. Then after the match, you had Dash entering the ring and asking Dar how he planned to bounce back, and he said he needs Lady Luck by his side, and he said Alicia Fox is always welcome in his corner. We had an Akira Tozawa video package. Will he show up before Emelina? When is this guy going to debut on 205 Live? Where's Grand Metalik? Where are these people? But he's still listed as coming soon. Then we had a UK title tournament special, and I couldn't help but to look at the video and think, wow, the UK is getting their own 205 Live tournament or Cruiserweight Classic tournament, however you want to look at it. Smallish guys in there. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm looking forward to it. That's not this weekend, but next weekend. Neville then made his entrance for the main event, and I liked it. He was being a complete heel. There was a young fan giving him the thumbs down, and Neville just stopped and glared at this kid. And then he did the same to another young fan. So he's even heeling on the children. Backstage, Tom Phillips interviewed TJ Perkins, who continues to come off like a dick. He praised Neville for being dominant in the ring, but a complainer outside of the ring. And he said that Neville has become a bully, and sometimes you just have to stand up and kick a bully in the face. And nothing in that is going to sound dickish. It's just his delivery. There's an arrogance to TJ Perkins that makes me feel like he would be better off as a heel. It's something I think he's going to have to work to shed. I just don't think he has a cool factor with that arrogance. Austin Aries can pull it off, and people still respond to him as a babyface. Perkins is just kind of conflicting. What's he call himself, like the Yoda of wrestling or something like that? And like, what babyface says that? And it just doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And so there's just this arrogance about him that I think is going to get in his way, but I don't think they're going to turn him heel because he's the guy with this elaborate, kid-friendly video game entrance. But the main event was Neville defeating TJ Perkins in 11:35. Perkins got the majority of the offense in this one. He went for a knee bar late. Neville caught him and powered him into a really good bridging suplex for a near fall. And then he ended up, Perkins kicked Neville and then slowly went toward the top rope, but Neville crotched him and then performed his superplex for the win. And I like that they, and it's something I've talked about here before too, they're not having him do the Red Arrow finisher in every match. It's a crowd pleaser. He's a heel. It's probably the most impressive finishing move in the entire Cruiserweight division in WWE. I think it's something that would get him cheered. I'm not saying he can never break it out as a heel, but save it for special occasions and just as you're trying to establish yourself as the top heel on a brand that really lacks babyface star power, I think this is the right move. And I kind of like just old school fan in me likes that. Wow, the superplex is a finisher. It's not just some middle of the match spot where both guys want to hit the move and lie on the mat for a little bit. It actually results in a pin. I like that. But it was a good main event. Crowd just kind of there for the whole show. Just they just kind of sat there and really weren't all that into certain things. But I liked the last two matches. I think that the first couple were skippable. I liked that the show was going to a little bit more of a faster pace and having four matches instead of three. I guess on this one, it was probably about the same as usual as far as the length of the matches is concerned. Well, I guess Tajiri went over in less than 3 minutes, but Gallagher and Nice was a couple minutes too. So yeah, I guess the first couple matches were brief and forgettable, but I did like Darren Ali. Go out of your way to see Darren Ali and also Neville and Perkins. So yeah, if you want to skip the first couple of matches on this show, watch the last couple. I think you'll be entertained. But I mean, nothing insulting. It's just it's like I say, it's one of those shows. If you see it, you might enjoy the hour, and if you don't, life goes on. They're not making this feel like it's a must-see television show. Instead, they sit there and I tell you it's the most exciting hour on television. It's like, it's not even the most exciting hour you produce. What is? It's SmackDown. One of those hours is always good. And I will be reviewing that show later on today for .NET members. So members, stick around for that. Check back for that, I should say. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, all you have to do is visit the main page. Once you're there, click into the sign-up area. Three different pricing options available. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can save some money by signing up for 6 months. If you take our annual option, it brings the price down to an average of $5.50 a month. That's right, you're saving $2. If you have any questions on that, hit me up on Twitter @ProWrestlingNet. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.